Well, joining me now on the phone is Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, and the IRMA, as it's known by its acronym, has been very active in the court fight to block the imposition of the sweetened beverage penny per ounce tax that was pushed by Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Rob, thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick.
You know, I can't say that I've ever seen a group singled out as much as I have with the retail merchants in the responses from Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, announcing on Friday laying off more than 300 employees because of the county's budget crisis, and specifically saying that, quote, the personnel actions are necessary to address an approximate $68 million gap in our FY 2017 budget that is directly related to the Illinois Retail Merchants Association lawsuit and temporary restraining order. Along with the layoffs, we're closing more than 600 vacant positions. Curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I guess I find it almost laughable. It's a real attempt to rewrite history, and I think it ignores what's been going on their side of this issue. This was sold as a health tax, nothing more, nothing less. There was no real mention of any type of tie to personnel or hiring or anything throughout most of that debate when they first passed it. Suddenly, when they get caught in their hand in the cookie jar here, the proverbial cookie jar, when they are being called to account for not following law, for being in conflict with federal law, federal regulation, potentially state law and city regulation, suddenly it's our fault. I think at the end of the day, it ignores the fact that, you know, we're all supposed to follow the law, including the government. It's a crisis of their own making. They could have changed this ordinance to bring it into compliance at any time. They were warned for a long time. As we were preparing to sue in late May, then they suddenly started changing the ordinance trying to change the ordinance by regulation four times in the 30 days leading up to the effective date of July 1. So clearly they started to recognize there's a problem. And further, at her direction, the state's attorney's office is dragging this out in court. We've been ready to argue our complaint, the facts of the complaint, since day one. They have chosen instead to take what we think is a war of attrition and take advantage of every little procedural move they can. So again, Rick, it's a crisis of her own making.
Well, and let's face it, this is a very controversial tax levy. And as you said, it was sold under the guise that this was for health benefits, even though it affects a variety of beverages that are including diet drinks as well. And, you know, it raises the question again, is this part of the nickel and diming of the taxpayer?
I think it clearly is. Listen, I give her, you have to give her credit for years. She is relatively transparent on a number of fronts, and she's been transparent about the fact that she couldn't sell a property tax increase. She couldn't sell another hike in their sales tax.
Well, we saw a return, actually, of that higher sales tax rate.
Correct, and I think that's something else. You know, that was sold to all of us taxpayers, as being needed. Every dime was needed for pensions and bad debt. And then immediately after passage, $160 million was used for non-negotiated salary increases. So there's a history here that I think is coming back to hurt them.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of shoppers in Cook County, they saw the stickers kind of being placed in front of in the beverage aisle of how this is going to be eligible for that tax increase. And when you look at things like a $2.50 on sale 12 pack of soda, and the tax on that would be $1.44, I think that did create somewhat of a wake up call for folks.
I think it did. As we saw in Philadelphia, frankly, Rick, the consumers all claimed they supported it, like the idea, or the voters did, until it became enacted. And then suddenly they recognized what the industry had been trying to tell them all along, the size of the tax, the fact that in some cases the tax will exceed the selling price of the item itself. And so you've seen Philadelphia's revenue projections being horribly off, which we think will happen here if this tax is enacted. And furthermore, you've seen a shift in sales to surrounding regions. We're not surprised by that, that the consumers are starting to wake up to this. And if it's enacted, I think you'll see an even bigger revolt by consumers.
Well, and when I talk to people about the notice that President Preckwinkle put out on Friday and 300 layoffs, but also that we're closing more than 600 vacant positions. And one of the responses I got was, why are there 600 vacant positions?
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you saw some of her fellow commissioners criticize her, I believe it was Friday, in a press conference as well, noting that there were vacant positions that should have been closed a long time ago. And I think they were also criticizing that there had been hiring going on in addition to some of these layoffs, so some going in the back door and others coming out the front door. So I think there's a lot of questions to be raised around this strategy.
I want to ask you about just some of the legal issues that are raised here, and I don't want to go too deep into the weeds on this. What basically are the legal arguments that the retail merchants are presenting in this?
Well, I'm glad you don't want to go too deeply because I'm not a lawyer. I just pretend to play one throughout most of my career.
Don't we both? Yes.
Yeah, we all do. So there's basically two major issues at play. One is uniformity. The ordinance that's in place wants to tax items differently. So, for example, if you were to purchase a sweetened iced tea that was to come out of a chilled beverage dispenser, it would be taxed. If you were to purchase that same sweetened iced tea handmade somewhere, it would not be taxed. If you were to purchase that sweetened iced tea out of a non-chilled beverage dispenser, there is some question as to whether or not that would be taxed. If you were to purchase a Frappuccino in a bottle, that would be taxed. If you were to purchase it handmade, that would not be taxed. They are identical items. They have identical ingredients, or at least are extraordinarily similar, and yet they are being treated differently under the tax proposal. And that is a uniformity violation. The other issues at play really have to do with setting retailers up for failure. So I mentioned at the beginning of our interview that they had changed the ordinance or their rules four times in the 30 days leading up to its July 1st effective date. The rules do not comport with the black and letter labeling of the ordinance. And as you know, while government can do many things, they can't ignore the very law they passed, and they can't reinterpret what was passed. They have to go back and change it. So, for example, the ordinance required SNAP products to be taxed. You can't tax SNAP products under federal law. It would put us into conflict with the City of Chicago's APS pricing rules, which is how you have to display prices on shelves. It would have required a tax which is in violation of state sales tax regulations. So there are a number of issues that set up the retailer for failure, not to mention that things like how you resolve ice in a cup. It's by an ounce, right? So you saw a 16-ounce cup. Is that inclusive of ice, exclusive of ice? There's been no clear guidance. And retailers have to be able to reliably collect the sales tax at the point of sale. And without that ability, they open themselves up to consumer lawsuits. So we are being put in a complete no-win situation, and the county needs to resolve that.
We're speaking with Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. And joining me on the phone is Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. And we're talking about the fizzling of the soda tax, as it were, in Cook County. And yeah, I know. And there's probably been plenty of bad jokes about that. But Rob, what is next when it comes to the legality, the court issues going forward?
Sure, we're in a period right now where we're trading briefs with the judge. As you know, we won the TRO, the county appealed the TRO, lost that appeal, so the temporary restraining order is in place. They then chose to file a motion to dismiss, which is claims that we have not demonstrated a harm that the judge can solve. Obviously, we believe that to be patently false, but we are now going through a trading of memos, legal memorandum, with the judge who is supposed to render a decision on the 21st, next
and that,
Friday.
That's on the motion to dismiss issue.
Motion to dismiss, correct. And then we'll see what happens after he renders his decision on that motion.
So if the motion to dismiss by the county is rejected, then it moves to trial?
Well, that's a great question. I think they could appeal this, their motion to dismiss, to the appellate court if they choose, and then they can come back, and then we would have a debate about the preliminary injunction, which would then put it, if we were to be successful, would put in place a permanent injunction of sorts until the complaint itself is finalized. But, of course, the county could choose to also appeal that, and then we would have that appeal. So, but throughout those appeals, the temporary restraining order would stay in place. If the court were to rule for some reason that after finding a TRO were suddenly to reverse itself and say, no, we grant the motion to dismiss, then absent a successful appeal, the TRO would go into, or the TRO would be lifted and the tax would go into place very, very quickly.
During all the formulation of this tax, and you stated some of the problematic issues involving it, but were there negotiations with the industry, with retailers, to try to see if there was some amicable way to put this in place?
Negotiations would be the wrong word. There were a lot of discussions with the county. We kept trying to demonstrate to them where their ordinance was in violation. And frankly, we got a lot of stonewall. That's why we finally said, okay, we're going to sue. We have no choice here. Then suddenly the county started changing, as I noted earlier, their regulations
after
about
the
30
fact.
Days. Right. And then accuse us recently of being the reasons that they're having the problems they're having. Negotiations would be too strong of a word.
Well, let's move from that issue to the I call it the end of the legislative session, even though it might be the end of the beginning. But obviously, you know, there's some issues on the table that you guys are interested in, that's unfinished business.
It is unfinished business. It will be interesting to see how seriously those issues are now discussed. Particularly in some of the amazing developments that we've seen over the course of the last week, which I'm not sure we've seen anything like that in my time or certainly your time, Rick. So we'll see how those issues are discussed, yeah.
The changing of the guard in the governor's office.
You know, we've seen some resignations from the assembly. There's a lot of rumors that we'll see more. You had on your one of your first guests, Elaine Nekritz, who I have tremendous respect for, someone we didn't often agree on but could always find a way to work together, has announced her resignation. I think Chad Hayes from the Danville area, downstate Republican, has announced his. I think we'll see a few others. So the changes, I think, are going to continue.
But when it comes to unfinished business, what are you still looking for the legislature to deal with?
I think we do need to deal with workers' comp reform. We would like to see, from a retail perspective, I think we need to see a bit of a restraining of local governments, particularly the city of Chicago and Cook County. Home rule was never meant to allow them to function as city states. It was meant to allow them to solve particular problems. I specifically talk about labor regulation. Which sets up an increasingly difficult situation for people who operate in multiple jurisdictions. Between those two in particular, highlight some of the things that need to be addressed in Springfield. It's interesting. A lot of people say, well, if we just had higher taxes and we just had a budget, suddenly everything would be great. We dispute that. We dispute that when you look at other high-tax states. I noticed an article in today's paper about the outflow from Hawaii. Hawaii, where you would think everyone in Illinois would certainly love to go, it's clearly not all about the weather when you go somewhere. It is about high taxes. It is about having a business job-friendly environment. And so we need to address those issues.
Are you convinced that when you hear Speaker Madigan, Senate President Cullerton say that our work isn't finished, that they're actually going to address something like workers' comp?
I think workers' comp is a very difficult situation for them. I think the hyper political environment in which we find ourselves, particularly so far out from a gubernatorial election, and I might add an election that's important from a redistricting standpoint, I do take them at their word that they are interested in trying to find some common ground on reform and potentially some other issues as well. They both, I believe, but you have to admit that at times throughout their career, they have certainly demonstrated that they have the best interest of Illinois at heart. I think, unfortunately, the atmosphere has become so toxic in Springfield, and the trust factor is simply not present. You know, Rick, that there has to be trust on both sides to get things done. And that's a component that's really missing at this time.
Well, and that's why I wonder, because, if you listening to various people, an agreement on workers' comp was actually close to be had in the House, but then agents of various politicians came in and pulled votes away.
Right. That was the effect in the Senate. I never saw them or heard them, anyone directly doing that, but there's awful a lot of smoke around that fire, so I have to take some people at their word that in fact was happening. But the sentence that they were down to on a couple of the issues, I just don't think the will was to get there. I think by that time the environment had simply become too toxic.
I was going to say that things had just simply deteriorated.
Yeah, just too much.
And who knows what the future may be like in the new dynamic of Springfield?
Who knows? But given what we've seen, I don't think you can reliably predict anymore.
Absolutely not. And you used to be a pretty good predictor. You know that?
Well, thank you. Thanks. But I've turned in my predictor card right now.
Fair enough. Rob Carr, President and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, always a pleasure to be with you. You have a great day.
You too. We'll be back with more right after this.